WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Governor McAuliffe says the Republican failure in Washington to enact any health care legislation may open the door to his longtime goal of expanding Medicaid in Virginia. The Democrat who would like to replace him is rolling out an economic plan for rural Virginia. Jesse Naylor has a deep look at protecting Virginia's waterways. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, July 19th. Good morning. Governor Terry McAuliffe says the failure of the United States Senate to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act may be opening a new door that has been closed for years. His ongoing fight to expand Medicaid to 400,000 Virginians who live in poverty or with disabilities. Speaking at an event in Washington, the governor said this week's meltdown of the Senate health care bill should change the political dynamics in Richmond, where the GOP-held General Assembly continues to send tax dollars to other states for their health care instead of spending those dollars here.
I'm just wondering, now that we know that Obamacare is now here to stay forever, it's not going away. I mean, it'll be reformed as it should be, and, you know, cost savings on generic drugs and other things. But now that you know it's here, can we continue in Virginia to forfeit $2.4 billion a year? I assume that my legislature is going to realize what a horrible position this has put us in.
Expanding Medicaid was a central theme of McAuliffe's 2013 campaign for governor. So far, he has been unable to deliver on that campaign promise. Also, Governor McAuliffe is touting a new study that says Virginia's forestry and agriculture industries have grown by 30% since 2013. McAuliffe on Tuesday touted the newly released study, which said the two industries contribute $91 billion each year to the state. Jobs in agriculture and forestry have increased by 7%. The study was commissioned by the state and led by a regional economist with the University of Virginia. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ralph Northam is rolling out an economic plan for rural Virginia. Soraya Wintersmith with our partner station WCVE reports the plan includes a tax proposal he says will aid startups and attract business.
On Tuesday, Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam put forward a two-year prohibition on local license and merchants' capital taxes for startups in rural Virginia and other economically distressed areas.
This will drive economic activity and startups to rural areas and result in no loss in existing revenue to local governments. When these businesses succeed and take root in rural communities, their local governments will see the returns in a significant financial boost after the second year.
Northam is also calling for a $15 million expansion of course offerings at the University of Virginia's College at Wise, as well as an expansion of rural broadband. Soraya Wintersmith, WMRA News.
Virginia Republican Ed Gillespie is starting the general election campaign for governor with a more than $1.5 million cash advantage over Democrat Ralph Northam. New campaign finance reports released late Monday show Gillespie and Northam both raised nearly $2 million in June. But Gillespie has $3.3 million in the bank compared to Northam's $1.7 million. Northam spent heavily to defeat primary challenger Tom Perriello. Gillespie did not spend as much to win the GOP primary, but was nearly upset by underfunded insurgent candidate Corey Stewart. Both general election candidates are likely to raise tens of millions more dollars before the November election. Virginia is one of only two states electing new governors this year, and the contest is getting national attention as a potential early referendum on President Donald Trump. Authorities say that deputies fatally shot a man who led them on a car chase and had a shotgun with him. Virginia State Police said in a statement that deputies with the Culpeper County Sheriff's Office were looking for a man after a domestic assault Monday night. 43-year-old Eric Wesley Clark of Culpeper had left the home and deputies saw a car matching his. A deputy tried to stop Clark, but Clark kept driving. Police say two other deputies pursued the car and eventually it was stopped. They say Clark was shot during the encounter. His shotgun was recovered at the scene. Authorities did not give Clark's race and did not identify the deputies. State police are investigating. Also, the American Civil Liberties Union predicts that by 2030, the number of state and federal prisoners who are 55 and older will make up about one-third of prisoners. In Harrisonburg this weekend, the public is invited to check out a new organization called Release Aging People in Prison. WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz reports.
Release Aging People in Prison, or RAP, seeks to raise public awareness about the incarceration of elderly people and to promote options for them such as parole or compassionate release. RAP started in New York, but says it's now in Maryland, D.C., and Richmond, As of Saturday, there will also be a Harrisonburg-Rockingham chapter.
This is a really important issue because it has to do with human rights and people's lives.
One of the chapter organizers is Winona Hogan, the maker of a recent 55-minute documentary, Rocktown Justice Unlocked, about overcrowding in the Harrisonburg-Rockingham Regional Jail.
I would like to see our chapter find people who are hopefully from this county, from this community, who have been in jail for, 20, 30 years and are now older and no longer a risk to public safety. They've worked hard to educate themselves while they were in prison. And I would like to see us be able to petition the governor and the parole board to get them out and then welcome them back into the community and get them back on their feet.
The Saturday, July 22nd meeting begins at 3 o'clock at the Church of the Incarnation on Liberty Street. And more information is at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer-Kurtz.
Finally, our feature story for today. The majority of streams in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, that includes most rivers that flow through the Shenandoah Valley, are in some state of pollution. The first and best stop for cleanup is on agricultural land, but government assistance is woefully inadequate, and if President Trump's proposed budget goes through, it could become even worse. WMRA's Jesse Nadler looks at the future of water quality in Virginia.
Bobby White Scarver and his wife, Jean Trimble Hoffman's 40-acre farm in Swope, has been in her family for 9 generations. It's not hyperbole to say that farming is in her blood.
She's actually a cow whisperer. She knows cattle. I know grass. Some people would call this a grass farm, because that's where it starts.
The Middle River that flows through their farm is a tributary of the Chesapeake Bay. It is the biggest river in Augusta County, and it's also the most polluted. It's because upstream there are cows in the river.
So when it's hot, the cows want to be in the river to cool off. But they disturb the sediment. They destroy the stream banks.
Sediment suffocates fish and other aquatic life. The Middle River can no longer support Virginia's native brook trout, thanks to the cows upstream.
They deposit manure and urine in the water, and that pollutes it.
Manure contains E. coli. In addition to fencing, White Scarver has spent years cultivating a dense wall of trees, bushes, and grasses lining the riverbanks. This riparian buffer keeps the water cool and helps prevent sediment, runoff, and other pollutants from reaching the water. He consistently tests the water for E. coli as it enters then leaves the farm. E. coli levels are typically reduced 30% by the time the water flows downstream. Riparian buffers are vital for improving the health of Virginia's waterways. The USDA has implemented programs to incentivize landowners to conserve more land. The biggest and most successful is the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP, which pays rent to farmers like White Scarver, who take land out of production and convert it to cover. Since its inception, landowners around the country have enrolled more than 23.5 million acres of land into the program.
It's a very lucrative, I would say, or beneficial program, for farmers. In exchange, you manage that land to a conservation standard.
Al Todd is the executive director for the Alliance of the Chesapeake Bay. His organization works with landowners on planting buffers. CRP has proved to be very popular because landowners often make more money from CRP than what they'd earn from renting that land to, let's say, a rancher for grazing. It's become so popular that the program is now on hold because it's about to reach its congressional limit of 24 million acres. This is an issue because landowners have less incentive to conserve land. Raising the acreage cap was a big topic of discussion during a Senate Agricultural Committee hearing on conservation's role in the 2018 Farm Bill last month. And part of why it's so popular, says Al Todd, who used to work for the USDA, is that the CRP isn't selective enough.
It's kind of a first come, first serve. Everybody who meets the minimum qualifications qualifies. As we increase the cap, we might want to only increase the cap for a limited number of practices that produce, an exceptional number of benefits.
Such as planting riparian forest buffers to protect the watershed. Now, there are other conservation programs available to landowners in Virginia. There's the Resource Management Plan. There's CREP, which is a subsidiary of CRP. There's the Ag Best Management Practices Cost Share Program. But CRP is the flagship. It's the biggest and most prominent. And state funds for these other conservation programs are facing shortfalls, too. According to the Chesapeake Bay Program, 900 miles of stream buffers need to be planted each year to reach cleanup targets of the bay watershed. The pace as of 2015 was 64 miles per year, and that number will almost certainly decrease if President Trump's proposed budget goes through, which calls for zero funding of the EPA's Chesapeake Bay Cleanup Program.
That's going to affect us big time. The EPA's Chesapeake Bay Program helps fund state positions, it helps fund cost share programs to help pay for alternative watering systems, fences, hardwood native trees along these streams, the things that we're talking about right here. That budget zeroed out would greatly impact water quality. And we know this works. You can see it, 30% reduction. This farm produces clean water because of those programs.
Trump's proposed budget is unlikely to pass. It's more like a wish list, but it signals the administration's desire to turn conservation over to states. And the governors of the six states in the Bay watershed, not surprisingly, really want that full federal funding. For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Wednesday.